In Perikafei, Pasuk Pes, which is the very beginning of Parshas Truma, we have probably one of the most famous of all the mitzvahs. The Rambam counts it in Sefer Mitzvahs. The Pasuk says, "V'asu li'pigdosh v'shachanti v'socha." As you know, now we're about to begin the Parshas that deal with the Mishkan. Truma primarily focuses on the Klei HaMishkan, the different vessels that were associated with the Mishkan. Tetzaveh deals with Bigdei Kehuna. Then we have betwixt and between the Parsha of Kisisa, which of course also has in it one of the tragedies of Klal Yisrael, namely the Chei Ve'Egel. And then, following upon the heels of the Chei Ve'Egel, we have the last two Parshas by Yaakov Zebudei, which are an affirmation of the fact that we carried out the directive of Hashem Yisbarach in terms of both the Klei HaMishkan and the Bigdei Kehuna. So here we have a mitzvah in Perikafei Pasuk Ches, V'asu li'pigdosh v'shachanti v'socha. The Rambam actually counts this mitzvah in Sefer Mitzvahs. What's the mitzvah? So the language of the Rambam is she'tzivanu libnos beis habchira la'avoda, the obligation to build a beis habchira, a beis habigdosh, and the Rambam refers to this pasuk. V'asu li'pigdosh v'shachanti v'socha. But the Rambam goes on to say ukra bi'arnu. The Rambam says the mitzvah is not only to build the Beis HaMikdash, but also the Rambam subsumes under this mitzvah, he incorporates under this mitzvah the construction of all the Klei HaMishkan. And he writes, HaMenorah, HaShulchan, HaMizbeach, VeZulasan, Kulam Mechelki HaMikdash, VaKol Yikarei Mikdash. Not only is the obligation to build the edifice, the structure, the overall structure of the Beis HaMikdash, but the Rambam says also included in this mitzvah is to construct the Klei HaMikdash. The different kelim that I mentioned, as you can see, take a look in Pasuk Yud, we have the Aron, Vasu Aron, Asi Shikim, there's a Seder. The Ramban claims that the Seder is Lafi, the importance of the Klei. The most important Klei in the Mishkan is the Aron HaKodesh. And then you can see, following upon the heels of the Aron HaKodesh, with all of its appurtenances, that's in Pasuk Yud. Then we have in Pasuk Yizayin, the Kapores, in Pasuk Chav, the Kruvin. And then we have the next Kli, which is the Shulchan, Pasuk Chav Gimel, and all of its appurtenances. And then Laman Al, the Menorah. And then the Imperichavav, an overall description of the particular elements that are involved in the Mishkan itself. And towards the end of the Parsha, as you know, we have a description of the Chatzar HaMishkan. So the Shita Sarambam is there's a mitzvah say to build the Beis HaMikdash, and it includes an obligation to construct the Klei HaMishkan as well. The Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvahs disagrees with the Rambam. And the Ramban contends that the Kelim are not a chelek of the mitzvah of also the Mikdash for Shachati B'Sochan. The mitzvah is to build the edifice, to build the Beis HaMikdash. But the Ramban points out, he writes there in Mitzvah Lamed Gimel in Sefer HaMitzvahs, "Lefi she'ein hakelim chelek min habatim." The Ramban says that the chelim are not a chelek of the mitzvah of the Beis HaMikdash, but there are two obviously separate mitzvahs. One is a mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash, and then of course there's an additional dimension of constructing the chelim. And the Ramban is quite lengthy on this matter. But as I said, this is a fundamental machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban. I heard many times from my Rebbe Yerach Soloveitchik Zatzal, he said the name of his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, that the Aron was not really one of the Klei HaMikdash. What was the primary function of the Aron? The Torah actually tells us pretty clearly, if you take a look at Pasuk Tazayim, Perichafei Pasuk Tazayim, what was the primary function of the Aron? It says, V'nasati ala Aron, Eisa Eidus asher etein elecha. What was placed in the Aron? The Luchas Eidus. That was the primary function of the Aron. And without Luchos, there's no need for an Aron. If you remember, In Parshas Ekev, and perhaps I will just give you a memory. In Dvarim, the Torah describes there, Moshe Rabbeinu was told in the Parsha of Ekev, which is found in page 457 in the pagination here of this Chumashim. This is a red one, but I believe the white one is also of a similar nature. So in Perek Yud of Parsha Ekev, it says, Ba'esahi Amar Hashem Elai. On Torah here in Dvarim, as you know, Mishnah Torah is reviewing the events that occurred earlier. And obviously, one of the events that was very central was, of course, the Chet HaEgel that's described here in Parshas Ekev. And then Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu once again that he broke the luchos to repassion them. That's in Perek Yud of Dvarim. Pasuk Aleph, Va'esahi Yomer Hashem Elai, P'salach Hashem Luchos Avonim Karishonim, Va'alei Elai Ha'ara, V'yasisa Lecha, Aronetz. And what is the function of that Aronetz? Take a look at the next week's talking. The external aluchos is advar mashahoya aluchos and mishonim shesh yibarta the samta baron. That's also famous gemara. You probably know the gemara in Brachos. Luchos v'shivay luchos benachah b'aisa aron. The gemara discusses what's the din of a zaki sheshachar tabuda. The person of Talmud Chacham who forgets his learning because of illness or something along those lines, is there still an obligation to honor that Talmud Chacham? So the gemara says it brings a raya from the fact that luchos v'shivay luchos benachah b'aisa aron. Even the luchos that were broken are placed in the same aron. And that's a sign that even the Talmud Chacham, who is unfortunately and tragically forgot his learning because he's either ill or something along those lines, is considered to be tantamount to Shivrei Luchos, that I'm placed in the same arm. But my point is that in Pesukim Beis and Gimel, it's very clear. What is the primary function of the Aron HaKodesh? The Iker purpose of the Aron HaKodesh is to place there what? The Luchos. It's very clear. Not as one of the Klei HaMikdash. So the Shita of the Ramban would seem to be the, shall we say, a position which is seemingly quite logical. Ad kedei kach, where I heard from, again, Harav Soloveitchik, he said again the name of his uncle, the name of the Briscoe, Bavelbo Soloveitchik, his father's brother, but they both basically had the same general position. And their assumption is that without the luchos, there's no shame aron whatsoever. The luchos, they are, in effect, that which gives the Aron its status. The status of the Aron comes as a result of having the Luchos inside. And as you know, and this is exactly also very, there's another, I'll just read it to you, so you can see the language of the Rambam. There's a very fascinating Rambam, where the Rambam actually notes this very clearly. And the reason why I say all this is because, as you know very well, that there's a rather famous machlokes between the Rishonim and Maseches Megillah. It's actually machlokes between the Ramban. It's quoted by the Ramban Megillah as far as a Beis HaKnesset. What's a Beis HaKnesset considered to be? What does the Gemara call it in Megillah? How's the Yolah Megillah? Migdash Ma'at, correct. It's a miniature kind of Beis HaMikdash. So what's the status of a Beis HaKnesset, this so-called Migdash Ma'at? So the Ramban writes in Megillah that a Beis HaKnesset has the same status as Tashmish HaMitzvah. The Gemara, as you know, Megillah is machalik between Tashmish HaMitzvah and Tashmish HaKdusha. For example, what is the status of a Sukkah? Is that called Tashmish HaMitzvah or Tashmish HaKdusha? A Sukkah is Tashmish HaMitzvah, offhand. Even though the Gemara in Daf Tes in Sukkah tells us, Yishem Shachal Shem Shamayim Al Chagiga, Kachal Shem Shamayim Al Sukkah, whatever that means. But the Pashup Shat is that a Sukkah is Tashmish HaMitzvah. What does that mean? Tashmish HaMitzvah is something that's used for a mitzvah, correct? And once a mitzvah is no longer aksnan, once it's no longer operative, so then it no longer has any kind of status. Of course, it doesn't mean you can discard it. The Gemara uses the Lashon Tashmish HaMitzvah Nizroki. Nizroki means to discard. But it means to discard in a bitzurah mechubedek, in a nice, very respectable kind of way. So a lulav, a Sukkah, those are nizrok after the mitzvah is no longer operative. But bizman mitzvah, there's a din that you have to treat the item with kavod, with a certain degree of respect. It has a kedusha of kavod. Just like the Gemara says, let's say, also in Sukkah, noy mitzvah. Gemara David of the base. Gemara says, noy mitzvah, also the stopping mehem, and mitzvah yom tov achon shachar. You're not allowed to use the noy sukkah till the end of yom tov, because there's a din of muktzah the mitzvah, that's called tashmish mitzvah. So the Ramban, quoted by the Ran over here, in Megillah, Dav Chesav V'Alav and Dav Yerif, says that the Beis HaKnesset is like Tashmish HaMitzvah. And this Ramban is found in a number of different places, but the reason why I mention it is because the Ran over there in Megillah disagrees. He writes, the Besakneses came in Sheikru Aloma about Davish of Kedusha. What's the primary function of a shul? Gemara says in Megillah also, Gemara points out elsewhere in Shas, Bai Shemigala Botorah, Bai Shemigala Botila. The idea of the Besakneses is to enhance our Tvila, or to enhance our Liman Torah. So the Gemara says that expression, and the Ramban, as I said, this is already a Ran disagreed with the Ramban, and the Ran claims Besakneses came Sheikru Aloma Adar Shemigdusha, Hitila Bachacham Kedusha Midivrayim. It has a kedusha the rabbanon. It means it's considered to be tashmish kedusha. What's generally called tashmish kedusha? Something like tefillin. Why is tefillin more kedusha, let's say, than a pair of tzitzis? Because what does tefillin have in it? What? The Shem Hashem, and it has it clearly divrei Torah. I found the tefillin. Hashem and sukkah doesn't have that. Bull doesn't have that. Tzitzis doesn't have that. So there's a distinction between tashmish kedusha and tashmish mitzvah. So as machlokes are rishonim around the Ramban. What the status of Besakneses is? Is it considered to be Tashmish Mitzvah? That's the position of the Ramban. And the Ramban quotes that it's considered to be somehow Tashmish Kedusha. The reason why I say this is because our Soloveitchik was medayed from a Rambam, a very fascinating Rambam, that the Rambam, and this Rambam actually is the Achronim, quote this in the name of the Rambam, that the Rambam held, he writes in also the beginning of the Mina Mitzvahs that the Rambam listed, he writes, there's an Iser, a Lav Daraisa, not to destroy Beis Hamikdash, or a Beis Knesset, or a Beis Medrash, Shenema Abi Tabin is Kamam Kumas Hashem Vishem Agoyim, Lo Sasim Ken Lashem Elokechem. And the impression one has is that it's a Din Daraisa. Kedusha Beis Knesset is a Din Daraisa. The reason why I say all this is because back to our Parsha. I mentioned the beginning of the Shir that I a few moments ago, there's Machlokes the Rambam Ramban. What's included in this mitzvah? Vasul Limigdash Shachani B'Sochem. Is it just the building of the Beis Hamikdash, or also includes all the kelim that are found also in the Mishkan? So the whole idea of the inyan of the Mishkan, the whole inyan of the Beis Hamikdash, is obviously also the subject of the big Machlokes among the Rishonim. But if you read the pasuk, what does the pasuk say pretty clearly? Vasul Limigdash for what purpose? We want a place where we can have what? Hashuas Hashchina. It means a place where we can connect with Hashem Yisbarach, a place where we can meet with Hashem Yisbarach. And Rav Soloveitchik often said that really this applies to both the Beis HaMikdash and the Beis HaKnesses. Of course, the Beis HaKnesses is a Mikdash Ma'at. It's a miniature kind of Beis HaMikdash. But really, it's also has the status of a Beis HaMikdash in the sense that it's a makom where we can meet the Shechina. There's one distinction, and this Rav Soloveitchik was always very fond of. He said the Beis HaMikdash is whose house? It's the house of Hashem. It belongs to Ribbono Shel Olam, and we visit Ribbono Shel Olam. Mashegin the Beis HaKnesses, whose house is it? Our house. And who comes to visit us? Ribbono Shel Olam. So Rav Soloveitchik contrasted the Beis HaMikdash with the Beis HaKnesses. He brought a riot from the Gemara and Brachas, I think it's on the Avsamach Gimel. The Gemara at the end of Maaseh Brachos, where there the Gemara speaks about the fact that a Beis HaKnesses is kibeso, it's like my house. And just like a person would be makbid on certain things in a person's home, so too you have to be makbid on certain things actually in a, shall we say, in a Beis HaMikdash. Let's take an example, it's a Sugya Megillah, also Gemara in Brachos. So since we are Orchim, the Beis HaMikdash, we are guests. We're coming to visit Hashem, as it were. It's a din of Mora Migdash. What does Mora Migdash mean? Fear. The pasuk says, fear. Shapsosai tishmor u'migdashi tiro ani Hashem. The pasuk found twice in Chumash. It's a din of Mora Migdash. The Gemara in Yavamas, the first parak, speaks about this din of Mora Migdash. Matter of fact, I mentioned already many times that I heard from Moreinu Rabbeinu HaGoyim Abar Lichtin Zatzal, that he said a number of times he told this to me in the course of speaking to him about the issue, about going up to Har Habayis. He said that the third time I spoke to him, he told me he can't do it because it says in Mikdash Tiro, you have to have Mora of the Mikdash, and he's not holding by such a Madrega. The Gon and Tzaddik that he was, so obviously, a silly Billy like myself is still not holding by such a Madrega. So the Beis HaMikdash is the house of Hashem. We are, shall we say, guests over there. And as a result, obviously we have to approach the Beis HaMikdash with tremendous yirah, tremendous yirah sakavah. As a matter of fact, as you know, what is the proper posture in the Beis HaMikdash? Posture means how do we go about when we are we allowed to sit in the Beis HaMikdash? The Gemara says, "Any shiva ba'azara el malchim is loved bilvav." The Gemara all over Shas. But only malchim is loved can sit in the azara. We can't. What do we do when we come to the Beis HaMikdash? He says in the pasuk in Gedidah, "Kisano." Remember the Bikurim. Rishtachaviso the Hashem Elokecha. The proper posture is what? Rishtachava. What does Rishtachava show? That I am completely and totally what? Subordinate to Hashem Yisbarach. I am the visitor. I'm the oreach. And he is the me'areach, the one who's the host. And it's his house. He's the balabayas of the world. Mashen Kane, the Rav said, when it comes to Beis HaKnesset, it's just the opposite. There, we are the balabatim, so to speak, and Hashem comes to visit us. How do we know that? We quote the Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara says, Hashem comes to Shul and doesn't see a minion, he gets upset. That's one of the Rav's values, and also the value from the Gemara mentioned, Hasam of Gimel. And the Gemara compares Beis HaKnesset to Beis HaMikdash. Anyway, all this is said just to show you the contrast between Beis HaMikdash and Beis HaKnesset. So there in the Beis HaKnesset, what is the proper posture? And Tzvardim actually know how to do it better than Ashkenazim. What do they do the entire time in Shul? They're not like yo-yos bobbing up and down, this tefillah standing, this tefillah sitting. Rather, what do they do the entire time? Sitting. Because it says in Lashon HaRambam, Sha'yishiva Shom Iske HaMitzvah Yishenemar Asher Yishenemar. The mitzvah is to sit in the Beis HaKnesset because it's our home. And yeshiva there is the proper pashtun. Hashenke, Beis HaMikdash, Yishtachava is the proper pashtun. Let me just mention why I said all this, because there is the Mishnah Berurah actually in Kufnun Aleph, the Shaar Tzion over there, points out that he speaks about Rikika, about, how shall we translate that? Expectorating. Thank you. He talks about people who are wealthy. And then makbid in their own home, you would not go ahead and engage in rikika in your own home. Hopefully not. You would not expect to write on the floors in your home. So too, by a shul or beis medrash, you should have the same kind of din. For example, the Mechaber writes in Shulchan Aruch, if a person walks into a shul, let's say it's raining, and there's mud on his feet. So the Mechaber writes in Halacha that the person should make sure he wipes it off before he goes to daven in the beis HaKnesset. And Rav Soloveitchik therefore felt, he said this once to Halacha, I heard him say this, if you are, let's say, in Chicago, and I heard there was a lot of snow there. Is that true?
16 inches.
How many?
16.
1/6. Wow. Tall than I am. So I forgot what an inch is. I'm only in the metric system. So I ended up not knowing this one or that one. But anyway, so what's the deal? So I'm now wearing boots and rubbers. Can I go into a Beis HaKnesset wearing boots and rubbers? Rav Soloveitchik said, it is inappropriate. Not inappropriate, he held it's awesome. It's awesome to enter a shul wearing boots and rubbers because most people, if you walk into their home, would they like you to walk on their carpets with boots and rubbers? Certainly not. He said the same amount applies as well to Beis HaKnesset, and therefore he felt it should be taken off. Okay, I'm just mentioning this, and the reason why, let me just add one more thing, and then you will speak, and that is that Rav Soloveitchik was very into the distinction between, as I said a moment ago, between Tashmishei Mitzvah and Tashmishei Kedusha. He said it the following. And you know this distinction, because you learned the Megillah. Those of you who learned with Rabbi Fuchs Shlita, he's one of the biggest mumchim in Masechta Megillah, probably in the entire world. He learned Megillah many, many times. I'm not joking. He loves Masechta Megillah. And he, what was that?
No, exactly right.
He knows Megillah quite well. And that's how we should learn Masechta. We should use Rabbi Fuchs as our model to see how many times he's chazed Masechta Megillah. But anyway, the Gemara, when the distinguishes between Tashmishei Mitzvah, oh, I see you're familiar with it. So when the Gemara distinguishes between Tashmishei Mitzvah and Tashmishei Kedusha, let's say we said Shofar and Tzitzis, those are, as we said a moment ago, Tashmishei Mitzvah. And then Tashmishei Kedusha, the Gemara gives examples of tefillin, mezuzah, deluskin be svarim, the tik of the sefer Torah, the nartik of tefillin. Got all the examples. The Gemara has many, many such examples over there. As I explained to you, the difference is the following. Because what is the most important yisod of all kedusha? Where does the most kedusha come from? Obviously, Hashem Yisbarach. But next in line to Hashem Yisbarach is obviously what? The Torah. Correct? And say, the Torah, Tzilim, Mezuzah, all have Tashmisha, Kedusha, because they all have the Kedushas, Haksav of the Torah. In the Tefillin, in the Mezuzah. Correct? And what about, let's say, the mantle of a Sefer Torah, or the natik of a Sefer Torah means the holder. So the answer is, that is Mishamesh, the ksav of the Torah. It serves to, obviously, or let's say the kiss of Tefillin, Mashenkin, Sukkah, Lulav, Shavuot, Tzitzis, have no shaykes to the ksav of Torah. So that's called Tashmishay Mitzvah, not Tashmishay Kedusha. So our Salvation wanted to say a distinction between a Jew and a Goy. He said the following. There's a mitzvah of kvura. The Gemara hadn't discussed the question whether kvura is a mitzvah because of kavod ames or kavod achayim. Famous chakira the Gemara actually has. And the Gemara, however, clearly indicates that there's no mitzvah of kvura when it comes to a non-Jew. As a matter of fact, the whole halacha of halaras ames that applies to a Jew doesn't apply to a non-Jew. There's no din of halaras ames. Lo sodom nivnas halaetz ki kavod tzikvenu bayom ahu. The din that you have to bury. And there was a they're very makbid about it. Halachas Hametz. In Chutzlars, you don't have control, especially with 16 inches. Levayas can be delayed for 2-3 days. This is what people have told me. In Eretz Yisrael, they have Levayas at 1 o'clock in the morning. They try to, especially in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, there's an Issur of Halachas Hametz, of not delaying actually the Kvura. But there's a Ramban in Parshat Ki Tzeitzeh, the Ramban writes over there, that it could be that in Eretz Yisrael, there's a Chiyuv Kvura, even regarding non-Jews. Why? The answer is because it says in the Pasuk, here, Pasha Kisaitse, there is such a Pasuk. But the reason why I want to say what I'm about to say is because the Rav Soloveitchik taught that a Jew who's involved in the study of Torah, so therefore, 613 mitzvahs, what is his status? He's called Tashmi Sheikh Dusha. And a non-Jew is only Chayim in what? Shema Mitzvah Noach. What is his status? Tashmi Sheikh Dusha. Yeah, and what's the din? Tashmish mitzvah nizrokin, there's no chiyuv akura. Tashmish kedusha nignozin, you have to put it in geniza, chiyuv akura. So it's a fundamental distinction between a Jew and a non-Jew. You hear what I'm saying? That's what our Soloveitchik thought is the distinction between we're chayiv in tayyum mitzvahs, a non-Jew is only chayiv in shem mitzvah neinach, and therefore our goof has the status of tashmish kedusha. And what it means is the following, that we learn Torah, and because as a result of our learning Torah, we are considered to be Tashmi Shekdusha. However, the goof of a goy, even though he's also Bekiya Mitzvah, Zazai Mitzvah, and Enoch, he's not also about Torah. On the contrary, goy shalom ateo, chayim iso, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. Losachem v'chol goy, mishpatim ba yudom. He's not allowed to learn Torah. Goy sheshavas, chayim iso, not allowed to observe Shabbos. So therefore, as a result of that, a goy is considered to be Tashmi Shei Mitzvah and not Tashmi Shei Kedusha. We are a Chetzah Shei Kedusha. And let me just add one last thing before you speak, and that is that the Gemara says in Nida, the famous Gemara that we're all familiar with, that at the end of the third parak of Nida, yes? The Gemara says there, at the end of the third parak of Nida, points out that a young child, what do? To a young child prior to his being birthed, the Malach comes and he's taught Kol HaTorah Kula, and then once he's about to, shall we say, emerge, so then the Malach goes ahead, correct, and now he forgets the entire Torah. So what does that mean? So what's the point of that? So there's a very famous explanation of the Balatanya Zechatzadik Livracha. The Balatanya writes that the Gemara comes to teach you, yeah, Mendel is here. I'm not telling him any Kedushim. I don't tell him any Kedushim at all. He knows it all. Rav Soloveitchik once spoke at great length about this issue. Why is that done? The answer is because Rishumo Nikar. Since a person wants to learn Kol HaTorah Kula, so it left some sort of impression, even though the Malach now caused him to forget the entire Torah, but the Rishum was still there. What do you mean the Rishum? The original impression that the Torah made on him. And now it's easier to once again, shall we say, recover it. And once again, I'm sorry?
Re-educate.
Correct. Once again, the person through Amalah, through Yegiyah, is able once again to, shall we say, reconstruct, if you will, the Torah, because it's really there in the genes, as it were. Okay, yeah.
Are there anything about inappropriate, or Soloveitchik saying inappropriate to go like into a shul like snow boots? Say that like it's the true vice of this. Like a minion is a minion, like Friday night Shabbos minion for minion, that's like 5 minutes away from my house, and there's they have a Torah, and the shul, Yom Yisrael, the Rochelle, is also 5 minutes away from my house. So on days when they have like big snowstorms, they have like a minion for people who like can't get the shul. should, is it better to go to that minyan because you're not getting because like when you go to the regular shul, when you go to the Beit Knesset, when you have like snow or whatever, and it's not considered like something that's like holiday, is it better to go to the house?
I mean, in general, it's probably always better to daven in shul. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch writes that you're supposed to be kovei makom in one shul, and in that shul you're supposed to have a specific place, specific makom, but given the circumstances you just described, could very well be that in that situation, I could understand why people would daven in the home, which is obviously a bit easier. Again, there's no chiyuv, there's no obligation to go ahead and put yourself in a difficult circumstances, but in general, it's a very big inyan gadol to try to daven in shul that if you can. But the reason why I mentioned all this till now was simply because the din of the Mishkan, the primary kli in the Mishkan was the Aron. The Aron with the Luchos, and that's why it's called Mishkan Ha'edus. And the Ramban writes here in Parshas Truma that the whole tachlis of the Mishkan was in order to be mamshich Hashuas Hashchina. The Ramban is a famous shita. The Ramban says the Mishkan was a portable Harsina. In order to extend the Harsina experience, what did Hashem do? Constructing a Mishkan, or in effect, directing us to construct a Mishkan, because in effect, what you have, the Shechina that exists in the Maamen Harsina is now the Shechina that's going to accompany us throughout our peregrinations in the desert, in the Midbar. And that Shechina will be embedded in the Mishkan. That's how the Ramban writes. The Ramban, the beginning of Parshas Truma, a very beautiful Ramban. But the point of everything is that clearly, a Beis HaMikdash without Luchos is no Beis HaMikdash. You know, in Bayi Sheni, the Gemara says in Yuma that the Gemara tells us there were five things that were missing. And one of them was the Aron with the Luchos. That was also missing. The Gemara's a Machlokes there, Machlokes Tanoim, where the Aron went into Gadlus in Babel, or the Aron was Nignas bin Koma. Was the Aron actually put into Geniza in its place? The Rambam says in Peregdala Beis HaMikdash, the Rambam brings down when Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash, he knew that eventually it was going to be Nechrav, it will be destroyed. So what did he do? He built a place deep down to be Gomez de Aron, with Matmonios, I think he writes, Amukos Va'akalkolos. That's Lashon HaRambam. There was a place deep down, somehow, where it was already built, because he knew what was going to happen. And Rav Soloveitchik understood that to mean that even in Bayi Sheni, in effect, the Aron is there. In Bayis Rishon, the Aron was in its proper place. And in Bayis Sheni, the Aron is, shall we say, deep down, but the Aron was there, because a Beis HaMikdash without an Aron is not a Beis HaMikdash. Just like an Aron without Luchas is not a Beis, is not an Aron. And similarly, the Beis HaKnesses, so therefore, the halacha is, you take a look at the Lashon HaRambam, I actually Xeroxed it. The Rambam says here in Perek Yudal Vilchus Tefillah, Ubonim bo heichol, shemanichim osim v'torah. What's the most important part of a shul? Is obviously the Aron Kodesh, the Heichol, where you have a Sefer Torah. And if you have a Beis HaKnesset, which has no Aron with the Sefer Torah, that has no Kedusha Beis HaKnesset. And therefore, again, I'm saying that this is really what, shall we say, this Pasha, to a large extent, is all about. And as I indicated, the most important Kli of all the Kelim is the Aron HaKodesh. And that's a Kli that all of us are involved in. As you know, that there are other Kelim that are clearly, and maybe we should just mention, by way of, this is again, I'm not telling you any Kedushim, I'm sure you're quite aware of it, but this is only found in Rishonim. Rishonim point out something which is very striking, that here you have the Shulchan, and you have the Menorah, and you have the Aron. Now these are very, very significant Kelim, but the truth of the matter is in this Parsha, these three Kelim correspond to as you probably, I imagine, know, the Shulchan is the Remez for the Kesem Malchus. The Menorah, of course, is obviously connected to whom? Malchus relating to David HaMelech. The Menorah is relating to whom? To Aron HaKohen. And obviously, the third Kli, which is the Aron HaKodesh, is the Kli that represents Torah. I remember Marabeim used to say that, they used to point out that you have three innermost Kelim in the Mishkan. What are the three innermost Kelim? The Menorah is one. Then they have the Mizbech HaZov, and they have the Shulchan. Now these three Kelim really correspond to three things that the world stands on. The world stands on Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasodim. The Mizbech is a remez to Avodah. The Shulchan with the Lechem on it is Gemilas Chasodim. And the Menorah is a remez to Torah. But also, if you remember in the Pesukim, this parsha is very technical. People don't like to learn this parsha. But it's very dry and very technical. Although I find it to be exciting beyond exciting. It's interesting, there are three Zeirim. You know what Zeirim are? The Gemara says in Yuma. There are three Zeirim. What does the Zeir mean? Zeir Zohar. Look at the Shulchan. In Perek, Chafei, Pasuk, Chavdali. It says, you make a Shulchan out of Atzei Shittim, tells you the measurement, the dimensions. The Tzipiso also Zohar Torah, Yosiso lo Zeir Zohar Sabid. What's a Zeir Zohar Sabid? Rashi right away says, similar Kesem Malchus. What's a Zeir? And it translates the word Zeir. Zeir Zohar Sabid. Translation, please. Correct. It's a kind of crown. And there are three Zeirim in the Klei HaMishkan. One of them is Be'ach, one the Aron, and one the Shulchan. And they are like Sarid. They're like crowns that were on these Kelim. And they are a remnant to the three crowns, namely Keset Torah, Keset Kuna, Keset Malchus. The Zeir and the Aron, you have the Luchos there, the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, it's a remnant to the Keset Torah. The Zeir of the Mizbeach is a remnant to Keset Kuna. The Zeir of the Shulchan is a remnant to Keset Malchus. Rashi Yuma says it explicitly. But you see that three Zeirim, there are three crowns that I found over here. And as you understand very well, we also have in the Shulchan, of course, the Lechem Aponim that was arranged by the Kohanim on Shabbos. And the following Shabbos, they would obviously replace it with new Lechem, they would eat the old Lechem. And that Lechem, by the way, was also to Azar. Azar meaning a non-Kohen cannot eat that Lechem. Again, once the Gemara tells us that Azar ate from Lechem Aponim, you remember in Tanakh, where is that? Shmuel Aleph. When David HaMelech, he was running away from Shaul, and he came to know Vir HaKohanim. Do you recall that? And he asked, David HaMelech asked actually from Achimelech HaKohen, he asked him for Lechem to eat. So he gave him Kodesh. The only thing there was Lechem upon it. But that was a matzah of Vikoach Nefesh. That's a Gemara Melachas. Because of the matzah, because nevertheless, even though Azar normally cannot eat lechem aponim, so he was allowed to go ahead and eat lechem aponim. I think Rashi says achaz al bulmus, that he was seized by some. How do you translate bulmus? Some situation which was he was totally out of control. There was no lechem. He gave him lechem aponim to David Avi. Okay, whatever the case is, I'm simply trying to point out here that you had a Beis Hamikdash, and you had in effect the Beis HaKnesses, which is a kind of miniature Beis HaMikdash, and Yamachotz, the Rav and Ramban, what the mitzvah is, just to build a Beis HaMikdash, or also the Klei HaMishkan are also included in this matter. Yeah. Someone want to say something? Okay, so I want to now just point out something very interesting that my father, Moshon, was very into this. Chazal say that on the Shulchan you have Lechem Aponim. I don't know if you're into this at all, but perhaps you are a little bit. Lechem Aponim, according to Chazal, represent Parnasa that Hashem brings to the world. There's a Gemara, actually. The Gemara speaks about this in a number of different contexts, but the fact of the matter is that by putting Lechem Aponim on the Shulchan, somehow Parnasa in the world is now enhanced. And I want to read to you a lashon of the Zohar HaKadosh. So it says in the Zohar HaKadosh that what should one do on Shabbos? One should put for each meal arba kikros lechem, four loaves of bread. So sach hakol, in the three sudas of Shabbos, how many shall we say kikros should there be sach hakol? 12, corresponding to the 12 kikros of lechem aponim. That's what it says in the Zohar. It's a very famous Zohar. It's quoted actually by the Poskim, this Zohar. I'm familiar with it. You know why? It's quoted by the Shari Tshuva in Arachayim. The Shulchan Aruch Sefer Reish HaIdal. He mentions this Zohar. Otherwise, I do not, per se, unlike Mendel, I'm not learning Zohars. I'm not holding by that. I'm trying to learn Chumash and Rashi. But anyway, the Ari HaKadosh was very makbid at Yud Bez Kikros, Bechol Suda Shabbos. Shabbos is the Makor HaBracha. So one should put 12 Lechamim on the Shulchan, in order to have Ashpa of Parnasa. By the way, I assume you're probably aware of this, that there is a discussion, and this discussion actually is a famous discussion, between I would say, even though they didn't directly speak to each other, the Vilna Gaon held, like the Gemara in Shabbos, how many kikros do we need for every meal? Two. Gemara in Kol Kisvei. Lecha Mishneh. That's all we require for every meal. And in general, though, the Gaon had a shita. There's no machlekes between the Zayar and the Gemara. Can't be a machlekes between Nigla and Nista. Not possible. Either we don't know the right pshat in the Gemara, or we don't know the right pshat in the Zayar. But there's no machlokes between. So here the Gaon speaks about two kikros, and the Zohar speaks about 12 kikros. It would seem to be that there's a stira between the two. The Gaon says, no, there's no stira. Even according to the Zohar, it's enough to have two kikros for every Suda. This is found in Maaser Rav, Simen Kuf Chav Gimel, for those who want to see it. I'm very into that Sefer, Maaser Rav, which has the Anhobis of the Vilna Gaon. However, the two kikros for every Suda are really six kikros for all the Sudas. And when you do Betzia, namely, when you break them, as we're supposed to do on Shabbos, we cut them or break them, they become 12 halves. Kedega, the 12 kikros, the lechem apo. Okay, I'll just mention that Chagav, so as you know, there are no stiras between the Zayar and the Gemara. But I wanted to say the following, and they connect all this to the Yom Tov Haba Aleinu Letova, which of course is the Yom Tov of Purim. There's a very fascinating connection that I saw in the Sefer Rokeach, that he writes actually after the Parsha here in Chumash that we just we're talking about the Shulchan, Lechem Aponim. So maybe I'll show you first an Emor. If you have a Chumash, since you have a Chumash in front of you, look at Parsha's Emor for a moment in Perek of Gimel. This is, I mentioned something else today which I hope to talk about tomorrow. But in Perek of Gimel and Emor, Perek of Gimel. It's the Parshas HaMoadim, the last Mishnah Megillah. You are familiar with that. You did learn the Masechet Megillah. One second. The Torah here tells us all the Moadim, Shabbos, and all the Moadim Hashem from Nisan until Tishrei. And the end, of course, is Sukkot, as I spoke about earlier. Right after that, what happens after the Yom Tov of Sukkot, the Torah speaks about? Perek of Dalet. What's the discussion up there? The menorah, you can see. It says, V'ichu edach Hashem and Zayi Zav, Perek of Dalet, Pesukim Aleph, Beis Gimel, and Dalet. Why is this Parsha found right after the Parsha of Moadim? What's the connection between that Parsha and the Moadim? So the Rokeach says, there's a remez to another Moed that comes into Sukkot. And that Moed is Kosher to Hashem and Zayi Zav, and Alokas HaMenorah. What Moed is that? Chanukah. That's what the Rokeach writes, one of the Rishonim. The Zman of Chanukah is right after Sukkot. And that's why that Parsha is juxtaposed to the Parsha of Moadim. However, there's another Parsha right after that. Take a look. What's the Parsha right after that? Pasuk K. V'lokach tesolos, v'yafisos, v'shtei mesvei chalos. And what are we talking about over here? Lechem aponim, that are arranged on the table every Shabbos. What's that Parsha doing over here? Says the Rokeach, there's also a remnant to another Yom Tov that comes after Chanukah. And on this Yom Tov is the mitzvah of Suda u'mishteh. What Yom Tov is that? Purim. So we see that the Torah has been merames to the Yom Tov of Purim. How? Via Lechem Aponim. So Purim is nirmaz here in the Parsha Lechem Aponim. And as you know, even the chet that Klal Yisrael sinned, the Gemara Megillah, you're probably familiar with it. The Gemara has the kasha over there. The Gemara Daf Yud Beis. The Gemara said, "Bnei man is chayvu." Why was Klal Yisrael actually guilty of being Rachmanu Litzlan to the point of being destroyed? The Gemara says, "Kadena Masuda Shalosa Rasha." Correct. We went to the Suda of Achashverosh, and Achashverosh made a massive party. As you know, what was the problem with participating in that party? Is the issue, shall we say, just sitting with non-Jews? That also is problematic. Like we have many Gemaras on the Zohar. Hazal had many Gzeros, Pasakum, Chalavakum, and Gvinasakum. And the like, we shouldn't, shall we say, fraternize with the non-Jewish world, which is problematic, unquestionably. But even above that, Chazal indicate that here, what did Achashverosh do? If you remember the Gemara in Megillah, you undoubtedly do. What did he put on? The Begadim of the Kohen Gadol. He took the Begadim of the Kohen Gadol that actually were already pilfered by Nebuchadnezzar in the Churban Abayis, and he got it. And then also he's Kalim and Kalim shown them, what did he say? To take in this meal, they should take the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, and that's how they served wine to the Orchim who came to that particular party. So how could you possibly take part in such an event? I mean, that's anyway, the reason why I'm mentioning all this in the context of what I'm speaking about is because the whole, again, idea of Purim, one of the very significant aspects of Purim is that, as the Gemara says in Megillah, the Gemara points out that in contrast to the non-Jewish world, they spend their days partying. Someone told me just now, I think Rabbi Ifrit told me, because his team won the bowl. So he told me that right after, or during, I'm not sure exactly, maybe it was right after, there was a blackout in Philadelphia, and there was looting beyond belief. Mind-boggling. These are people celebrating the Super Bowl in a state of great joy. And the moment the blackout occurs, wow. So they accused us, if you remember the Gemara Megillah, what do we do all day? We also party. They accuse us of, what are we doing? We're engaged in Shi'i Pi, Lashon Yomara. Shabbos Hayom, Pesach Hayom. We always have Yom Tovim. That's how the non-Jewish world sees us. We're always busy celebrating Yom Tovim. Every time we're supposed to work, there's another Yom Tov. But how do we celebrate Yom Tov? We have Achilu Shkia as well. But what is the primary focus? The primary focus is Hashem Yisbarach, and Dveikus, and Ruchnius. That's why we eat and drink. We don't, shall we say, do the Achila Gasa, the Papagayo thing. That's not our thing. Unless it's part of the incentivizing program. But other than that, we engage in Achila Shtia, hopefully of a Mechubedet nation. Mashenki Day, they're just involved in looting and just absolutely Achila Gasa from here to I don't know where. So that is exactly another very significant distinction between the Umos HaOlam and Klal Yisrael. And I say all this because, again, as I mentioned, the whole idea of this of these psukim that we began with earlier is in order that we should try to, each one of us, how does that thing go? Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. So that's what we're going to be beside us. Bilvavi Mishkan Evne Ladar we have to build a Mishkan where our entire lives should be one that are ruchnias, dika lives, and one that there's no hesek hadas from Hashem Yisbarach 24/7. So this way, we can have a bowl, but the bowl that we'll have will be, as I said, achilo shtia of Shabbos of Yom Tov, as opposed to the looting and the achilo gasa of the world at large. That obviously is very
oh, you can sing it up.